When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do audiobooks count? Like, does all that we're saying now mean audiobooks don't count?
No, that's the thing. It's audiobooks do count. It depends on the reader, though.
Physically reading is unlike anything you could ever do. You got a blank box in your head. You have nothing other than you have to create a voice in your head.
Or you can be like this monster.
I was gonna say.
Rewind every 5 minutes. God, it hurts.
I'm getting better.
Good. Welcome back to a Tutor Ramble episode. My name is Richard.
My name is Austin. I almost forgot my name for a second.
But today we're talking about, do audiobooks even count? All eternal question we have to ask ourselves. Do you want the short answer or the long answer?
The long answer. It's a podcast.
Oh, of course. If you want the short answer, it depends. That's an unfortunate answer, but almost always true.
What can they expect, though? Today we're going to go over what audiobooks versus physical reading, the advantages, disadvantages of both. And when we mean do audiobooks count, you'll see out there people saying, hey, you're listening to a book, you're not reading the book. So we're going to go back and forth with, is it important to physically read, or can we just audiobook and live our lives happily ever after?
Yeah, ultimately, a bunch of negative Nancys on the internet complain about how other people enjoy things.
Don't say that like that's not us. Come on.
It is us. That is us.
Let's not
talk down. I'm not saying that negatively.
No, we're not talking down. We're talking across.
Exactly. No, that's a good thing.
We're right with you.
If we couldn't complain about other people having fun, what are we?
Why would we have a channel?
Why
in the
would
first
we
place?
Exist? Yeah.
The first thing that I want to talk about with audiobooks, you did some research on this, mm-hmm. So feel free to jump in.
I actually read things,
not listen to. Ooh.
I would challenge you to find me an audiobook version of a scientific study.
Yeah, it's rough.
Find me that.
It's rough out there for our scientists.
I think that's a niche. That's a niche in the market.
They deserve better.
They deserve audiobook renditions of a scientific journal.
Imagine that. So I wanted to start us off with the thing we can jump all over the place. First thing, when audiobooks are being made, there's a book that it's reading it off of, I would hope.
You would hope, yeah.
The thing that I want to ask you is, hey, when there's not adaptation in a way, but a different medium for what the original thing was meant to do. So the book was meant to be read. Nowadays, people are sometimes writing in the frame of mind that it will also be an audiobook. But my question here is, hey, you know when you see a musical, a Shakespearean play, that then becomes a movie? You know, that movie, that Shakespearean play was originally a play that was meant to be performed a certain way. And now it's a movie version of Romeo and Juliet. Mm-hmm. So do you think that when books then become audiobooks, is there any loss of translation? Do you lose a little bit of that thing that the author was meaning for you to read the thing, but now you're listening to the thing? Is there anything lost?
It depends.
Oh, you bastard.
I'll give actual details, though.
You're correct with the it depends, though.
The main thing is the difference between a physical book or the written word and an audiobook the differences are a lot smaller compared to reading a play and then seeing the play performed. Vast differences. Or a book to a movie. Very different.
It is
a medium change, but for example, I think the use of italics in a book, really hard to do in an audiobook format. Sometimes there is misspellings for a deliberate purpose. Or I'll give a really good example of when reading Mort, Death. Yeah. I've listened to the audiobook and I've read the book itself. And an important detail that Terry Pratchett uses is Death does not have...
Death the character for
Death the character.
Red.
Doesn't have quotations around his text. It's just in bold letters, bold capital letters, almost like when death talks, it's like the narrator, the world talking. It feels eerie. When reading it, you get a feeling of death is different, obviously, but it feels cool to read it that way. When you listen to the audiobook, great, great narrator, but it doesn't come off across the same because there's moments. There's a moment where another character, one of their words or one of their sentences talks like death, and it's such a surprise in the book. You're reading it, you go, oh, what's what does happening? That mean? Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. And you pick up on it, and that context of seeing it was very important. In the audiobook, not as cool of a moment.
It's more difficult to pick up when, because it, you're saying that there's a difference. That's a more niche difference. So Terry Pratchett has a way with his books where there's not even chapter markers. And so he uses prose in a way that an audiobook can be more difficult to translate a Terry Pratchett novel, although it still works fantastically. It
still works well, but
it's still not as stark of a difference as you would say, hey, a reading sheet music versus hearing the music. It's not as stark of a difference where if you're hearing the song being played and going, oh, unless you're Beethoven who could read the sheet music and then hear it in your head because you're just a musical genius. So we don't mean to say that it's that stark of a difference, but there are moments, and it's worth noting because that audiobook, now that a lot of books are going into audiobook form, I actually have the number here. It's roughly 75,000 per year in audiobooks are being made versus the number of books being published every year ranges from 500,000 to 1 million. Caveat, if you include self-published, it can go up to 3 to 4 million. Now, you'll see a couple different numbers. I'm getting some of these from like medium.com, other of these words statistic sites that are spewing a couple range of numbers, but this is the general range. Mm-hmm. So even though audiobooks are becoming more and more prevalent, they're still not the number one way that people read books as of now. Sure. Did you see this as well when you're looking?
Yes, but the trend is going in the audiobook direction. Audiobooks are growing year over year. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely it's eating into the pie of readers. It's definitely more and more important for readers to, or authors to actually put out their books in audiobook format.
Yeah, I'm seeing the number here. It's saying that over 1.81 billion with a B was generated through audiobook sales in the US in 2022. So 2 years old. That's all they have right now. And the sales grew by 3.43% over time. But importantly, 9% of all book sales in the US are coming from audiobooks as of 2022. So a tenth of book sales are audiobooks right now. Now, does that translate into other numbers such as how much money do audiobooks make comparatively? That's a different story.
That's also how much, how true are those numbers of, so a part of a factor is how Audible does its own sales. How does it, Audible is notorious for being difficult with releasing sales numbers and how it exactly sells a book. You were buying a subscription where you use a credit. Is that a book sale? Is that an Audible sale? We bought it when Audible has it on their page and you can just listen to it when you have their Audible premium, like you're consuming it, but you didn't buy it. How are you dealing with that? So those numbers are kind of hard to deal with where you look at what authors say about their own book sales and it's quickly becoming the majority, like not a small portion, like 60% of their readers are audiobook listeners. So I don't know how that particularly gels or if that depends on the genre.
Yeah, and especially with our genre, fantasy sci-fi, where the audiobooks are generally longer books because they're longer books than compared to another novel. So when someone goes on to Audible to use an audiobook credit, what the consumers will do, this is just based on consumer reports. So consumers will more likely get the longer audiobook because they're given a credit each month with Audible or whatever subscription. If you're given a credit to spend on a book, would you rather have the 60-hour long Sanderson novel or the 10-hour long or 2-, 3-, 4-hour long Martha Wells All Systems Red type of novel
as well? I'll be honest with that is when I purchased Martha Wells books on the audiobooks on Libro.fm. We're not sponsored. I think we technically have a link, but screw Amazon.
We are sponsored, though, by Tutoramble, where you could join their Patreon. And there's a link below if you want to join a book club. Talk books with us every single month. You can read it or listen to it and still talk about the book with us. We don't discriminate.
But I highly promote Libro.fm because DR, you buy a book, you works just like Amazon, but instead of buying and never owning, you actually own the book. I have DRM free copies of that book. It's on my computer and I own it forever and they can't take it away from me. Damn you, Amazon. But when I was able to use my credit for a Martha Wells book, I chose not to. And I just purchased her book with money because I was like, this credit can technically buy me a $40 book. I'm not going to use that on a book that costs $15 or less.
Also, bang for your hour, bang for your time, and bang for your buck. Because if Martha Wells, you're just going to listen to that book for an afternoon versus you can listen to a Stormlight book for that can take weeks. It could take the whole month of your credit. And then by that time, you'll have another credit because of your subscription.
Yeah.
And that's why I think to this day, unless it's changed in the past year, to this day, Oathbringer book 3 of Stormlight had the most pre-order sales in Audible history. Unless that changed in the past year. So caveat that, other than that, it had the most sales ever. And the reason Sanderson was talking about this, he was saying the reason that happened is whenever someone's going to use their credit, well, there's not many books longer than Oathbringer. So when people are going to use their credits, they use it on that.
Yeah, which I find interesting that now the audiobook industry is so, to some degree, the print publishers have tried to shy away for years now. It's now changing, but it's always been a harder sell to get a thicker book deliberately of like, oh, thicker books are harder to sell because it's more intimidating. So they want to make them shorter. And now audiobooks is the complete opposite, where the advantage is to have a longer novel.
Exactly.
But these are all sales, but we're talking about the differences between the audio and print. I put more effort into looking up reading comprehension. Like, what does it mean, hey, audiobooks don't count? How I took that to mean is when people talk to, like, my mother, basically, is like, that doesn't count. Is
be nice to your mother.
We disagree sometimes. It's fine. But basically, an audiobook doesn't count because you didn't actually comprehend the whole book, that you're just listening to it. And through my research, I found to some degree that can sometimes be the case, but very often it's like everything, a trainable skill. There are people that are more used to consumption of audiobooks will actually comprehend more versus someone who doesn't use it that often. But it also correlates with what are you doing at the same time. So there is a focus problem of if you're listening to an audiobook while doing something else, your focus is elsewhere. You're not going to comprehend everything at the same rate as physically reading. But that's not a difference of the medium. That's what you're doing at the same time. It's really hard to wash the dishes and physically read a book. So that's some of the difference. But there have been some studies on taking two classes. So I know there's a study by American University, my alma mater, that actually went into, like, took two classes and over some period of time for a test, they had one group use the ebook, one group use the audiobook, and
ebook versus audiobook?
Yes.
Okay. Not physical, but ebook.
Ebook. So there's apparently some differences between those two as well, but we'll get into that later. Mm. But that one actually had been a wide margin that the people who used the audiobooks did way worse on the test than people who did the ebook.
Okay.
Now, some of the reasons they had behind that is they asked follow-up questions like, how did you actually study? How did you go through this? And so the people who had the audiobook were listening to it in their spare time while they're walking around campus, while they're going to something, and they would listen to the book. Versus the people who read it were actively reading it. They sat down and focused and studied. So there's something to be said of what you're doing at the same time. But I don't know if that's necessarily audiobook's fault.
I'm curious if anybody out there who listens to audiobooks, comment if you're one of these people or if you're not, but if anybody does listen to an audiobook and does nothing else, does anybody, instead of physically reading, sit and listen to the book and then just sit down and kind of sit by a hearth or swing in your rocking chair, which I've done that on occasion. So yeah.
Oh, I do.
Yeah. I've done that on occasion, but
yesterday I was literally sitting in the hot tub. I was just listening to my audiobook, just laying in a hot tub. It was great.
But I would say more often than not, I do the same. Like sometimes I just kind of sit and listen to it. But 90% of my audiobook consumption is I'm also doing something else. Because if I have the choice of kind of sitting somewhere, I'll more than likely physically read.
Yeah, it also depends on what the content is. Yeah. So if it is a book for entertainment, yeah, you may miss some things, but it's not enough to be a significant difference. Mm. But what did you find in your research on the comprehension between audio and physical?
So obviously audiobooks are appealing because of the convenience where you're able to read. So this is why you see some creators out there, not us, that are able to read 40 books a month. There's a TikTok, I think her name is Bethany. All the power to her. She kicks ass. She's reading 40, 45, 50 books a month. Ugh. And it not only makes me self-conscious, it makes me resentful. It makes me feel imposter syndrome. I get angry at you for some reason. I'm just like, what? And then I just direct it your way. So that's how it comes out. So these people, they're able to read so many books a month because not only are they listening to the audiobook, then they're going 1.5, 2 times speed. And I'm up to 1.4. I'm pretty happy with where I'm at right now.
I'm at 1.3. I'm doing pretty good.
Oh, got to get those numbers up. I was at 1.3 like yesterday. Yeah. I'm trying to work on getting it up because people are telling me like once you start going higher and higher, you can't go back. And I'm already finding that to be true. So many people listen to our podcast right now at 1.5, 2 times speed. And I've listened to our podcast sometimes on that.
I will say, hurts my feelings a little bit.
You don't?
It hurts a little bit. Yeah, not too much.
Why is that?
But a little bit.
Why does it hurt your feelings?
It makes listening to our podcast feel like a chore. And also self-conscious about how I talk. Just like, do I really talk that slow? That hurts.
It's also,
it's not inaccurate, but it hurts.
The difference with audiobook to podcast as well, there's no transcript of this that you can read. So you're only listening to it. True. Do not read a transcript of our pod. God. That would read horribly.
Little back into the Richard lore, because that's actually one of the jobs I did right out of high school, is I was transcribing for a lawyer. And so going through court, basically going through police interviews and transcribing the conversations. Hell. That to this day is the worst work I've ever done. It is the hardest thing.
You don't hate this bar more? I'm very humbled and honored right now. This is good.
I hated that.
Yeah, you complained about it a lot. Like not.
I deserve to.
I didn't know you at the time you had the job, and you still were complaining about it by the time I met you. That's how bad the job was.
It sucks terribly. Never do. Well, okay. The people who actually do it, they have a special keyboard, and there's a way to actually type at the same speed as someone talking. It's actually functional. Me being right out of high school kid, I had a regular keyboard and mouse on a Word document. Let that sit in for you. Sucks.
Back in the Microsoft Word days. Nowadays, we're Google Doc users.
It still sucked. It was terrible. But beside the point.
To loop back around, you had a question that I dodged, okay?
Yes, you did.
The question going back to... So I was explaining that a lot of people read a lot of books quicker, faster than ever. Mm-hmm. And I would like to think, so from what I was looking into and also the obvious common sense point of when you're listening to an audiobook and as you're saying, you're doing other things, it's kind of like a movie as well. If you're watching a movie and listening to an audiobook are all kind of inactive participants. You can inactively finish and complete the movie, complete the book. Technically, yes, you were in the presence of the film. Technically, yes, you had the book saying things at you, but how actively were you participating as the reader viewer? So yeah. What some things of what I found is with reading that, again, it depends. It's not all across the board. There also are
I did find plenty of studies that actually, so kind of almost 50-50
yeah.
of some that said, oh, yeah, there's effectively no difference between physical and audio. And then others that said, yeah, there's actually a stark difference between physical and audio.
That's why we can't play the study game. Who needs studies?
Who needs studies?
It's who needs studies when you gross. Have our opinion. Come
exactly.
on.
Exactly. So, all you need is intuition and actual experience. That's all you need.
Just feign it.
Just feign it.
That's it. So
who needs the lab coat, people?
That's what I was. So from common sense.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wise of looking at, okay, if the studies can say both things, if they can say both sides, reading takes a bit more active participation. So mm-hmm. when someone's saying, hey, audiobooks don't count as much, did you actually read it? Or were you just kind of background podcast background? Because sometimes when you're people are listening to this podcast or somebody's listening to music, mm-hmm. it's not like you're paying attention to the lyrics all the time. It's not like you're paying attention to all the cadence and et cetera. So reading is just a more active thing you're involved in. However, with audiobooks and listening to something, I feel it's just personal experience. I feel sometimes getting someone else's voice to say something at you can sometimes give you, it can almost stick in more when there's a great narrator. So Jeff Hayes with Dungeon Crawler Carl, or I've also heard First Law series, Joe Abercrombie says a great audiobook narrator, when their narration exceeds what you could have done reading, and so the scene maybe sticks in your brain more. This is just going anecdotal off, so that nothing other than, hey, sometimes there are scenes I could think in Dungeon Crawler Carl, the audiobooks, that just stick in my head because I'm thinking of the way Carl's voice just can't, and it was just so much possibly more impactful to me. Then I think the biggest negative possibly of audiobooks, and does it even count? I listen to audiobooks, but I'm going to play both sides and I'm going to hate on both sides. Okay. Both sides are wrong.
Good. Yeah.
And the worst part probably about audiobooks is that the creativity and the imagination factor, because I think that physically reading is unlike anything you could ever do. And it takes the most amount of, you got a blank box in your head. You have nothing other than you have to create a voice in your head to read the words. Mm-hmm. Audiobook takes one layer outside of that of going, hey, someone else is reading it to you. So it automatically gives you a different, hey, this isn't how I read the cadence of this character's voice. Oh, I didn't read it like that. It takes it from a very individual experience to still individual, but one degree outside that. Do you agree or disagree with that point?
Somewhat. It's a mixed bag. Again, I think I agree with you on the imagination aspect. The difference is what you brought up is sometimes the narrator is better than what you could do in your own head.
Yeah. Well, Jeff Hayes always.
Jeff Hayes, perfection.
100% of the time is better than what best. You could do. Yeah.
But there are some interesting differences on how we read. So apparently there's some research into exactly how we physically read, what our eyes are doing. And contrary to common belief, you don't just read the sentence by sentence and go line by line. There's actually a lot of micro eye movements across the page where you actually go back a sentence, back a couple words, a forward. You actually read previous things while you're continuing on. You don't read in a completely linear line. Sometimes a word is that you just read 7 words ago was a little difficult. You go back and you see it again, then you go back. So your eyes are doing a constant kind of recheck on difficult things. So you actually don't read completely linearly. You can't do that with audiobooks. There is some ideas on whether or not when you're listening to a book, you actually are listening to the word. You're thinking about the word that was said a couple words ago, and you're processing it, but it's not the same. Or you can be like this monster.
I was gonna say.
Rewind every 5 minutes. God, it hurts.
I'm getting better.
Good. I'm never listening to an audiobook in the car with you again. That was miserable.
Because that's what, with physically reading, I can bring my eyes back with audiobook.
Yes.
What can I do other than rewind?
No, you accept it. You accept the loss
and move forward. But see, exactly. Then it goes in one ear and out the other. Then I miss some of the experience.
You've got to be better than that. You got to listen better.
But and a lot of this is before the 1.4 times speed. This is when we were at 1.2 levels.
A lot of this is the skill of listening.
Yeah.
So it is an active skill you can learn. I just thought that difference is very interesting on how we exactly read and comprehend things, where it's not a completely linear fashion that you need, even if you don't recognize it, you're going back a couple sentences and reading that while you're continuing to read. It's a weird thing. I've always noticed myself, and I think I'm sometimes more extreme, of my eyes skip forward than back, and like I don't read everything at the correct pace. It's weird. My eyes get distracted.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
No, that totally happens. Like you go back and so what you're saying, there's a micro movement there where even seven words back, you're flashing super quick, but you don't consciously like stare back at it and go forward.
Yeah.
It's saying that you just jolt back, but you continue as if nothing happened.
Yeah. But it's also an interesting thing of the more you can limit that, the more you can read faster.
Yeah.
So a lot of our reading speed is dependent on our eye movement. So our eye can only move, like that's a thing that you have to train, versus there are some programs where you can actually put an entire book into the computer and it will flash the word in the center of the screen so that you actually don't actually have to move your eyes. That it just, so you keep your eyes straight on the dot and all the words flash by and you can triple your reading speed.
Damn.
It's huge. I tried reading. It's so fascinating. Your brain actually processes the words a lot quicker than you think you could. Because you see the words flashing by and you go, how can anyone read that? And then you try and it's surprisingly manageable.
What that does, and also the audiobooks, another thing it takes away is I get this personal joy and elation when I am reading a book and you flip to that page where there's only like three paragraphs left and you know the end of the chapter's coming, you get that excitement of like, oh, crescendo's coming. But like, when's the drop? Where audiobook is kind of just, you know, you could look and stare at your audiobook to see if it's about to come to the end of the chapter. Most of the time, we're just listening to it, don't know when the end of the chapter's coming. Now, that's a pro and con. When I'm reading the book and I see end of the chapter's coming, it's sometimes hard not to dart my eye down to the last line and go like, oh, what's Darrow going to say or whatever it is.
Well, actually, that's a very consistent point with the studies that I've read on it.
Yeah.
Is a lot of them say like comprehension-wise, for the most part, it depends on what you're reading. It depends on the person that's reading it. Do they correlate the idea of listening to a book to entertainment or to study?
There's also different kind of learners too. Yeah.
Exactly. However, something that was consistent is people who physically read a book, so this was also a difference between
physical
an ebook and physical and audio, but like physical reading, physical paperback book, they had a better comprehension of when events took place in a story than audio and ebook.
Oh, I can 100% see that.
Because finger on page, you see where you are in the, like physically, oh, I'm in the beginning of the story and this is the scene that happens. And your brain connects the visual of where you were in the book to the scene.
The spatial reasoning in a way, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, so you actually have a better comprehension of the events that took place in a right chronological order. So I think that's actually kind of interesting.
Anecdotally, I totally agree.
Anecdotally, but the studies agree with you too.
That's good. That means they're right. Because I totally see that when I'm reading a book and audiobook, I don't even know how far I am into the audiobook. It's chapter blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I kind of... you can look at the bar, of course, and that makes it easier. But if you're just listening to an audiobook for a while, you don't physically see, hey, am I over the halfway point? Because that's always another satisfying thing when you're reading a physical, when you close the book and you see the latter half is shorter than the first half and you're going, yeah, that's when you start to get that stride. But we're talking a lot about how physical reading seems superior in a way. I want to push in and push back at what everything I was just saying and go audiobooks. The obvious reason why they can be amazing as well is you get to actually read more. Like, the convenience, uncanny. Like, come on.
It's, oh, convenience, like, doesn't even come close.
Doesn't come close. I think that even though what we're saying here, that there could be less comprehension, there could be less retention, still, do audiobooks count? Like, does all that we're saying now mean audiobooks don't count?
No. That's the thing. It's audiobooks do count. It depends on the reader, though. To the same degree of, did you watch the movie? And someone says, oh, yeah, I watched the movie, and it actually was on while they were on their phone, and they kind of let it play in the background. That's on them. Versus someone who's listening to an audiobook and, you know, didn't pay attention or is listening to while they go to sleep, and like two chapters go by while they're asleep and they didn't notice.
Yeah.
And then they don't even go back to pick it up. They just pick right back up where the, you know, phone left off. It's like, did they read it? That's not the audiobook's fault. That's the reader's fault of just not doing it right.
This happened when I was literally driving here to your place. And I was listening to Dungeon Crawler Carl in the car monotonously because I was just going down the same roads. And then there was a bunch of traffic. I had to start focusing on, like, okay, I got to turn it. And I had to physically turn the audiobook off because I realized the past 3 minutes, I had no clue what was going on. So it was one of those moments where when you're monotonously driving anywhere and you can just listen to it because your brain is not taking any power outside. Hey, you're doing dishes. You've done this a million times. As soon as you're doing something that needs more active attention, like, hey, bunch of traffic, trying to have to go a different route to your place, or if it comes to, instead of doing dishes, you're creating clay, or like you're creating art. And
yeah,
if you're doing something actively that is more, that takes more of your attention than the book itself, maybe that's when it starts to not count, going, hey, you technically, you finished the bars at the end. Technically, that could happen with physically reading too. Like, you know, I can sometimes physically read a book and completely gloss over an entire page, 2-3 pages.
And it's up to you, the reader, to go back.
You have to go
properly comprehend.
Exactly. I would say that those readers who, let's say you kind of gloss over several pages and like a chapter and don't just one.
There's one of our friends
plenty who times.
Says they read The Way of Kings.
I don't know.
And yet, he skipped all the interludes.
That doesn't count, does it?
That doesn't count. He didn't read it. No. He didn't read the book.
So that can happen where if you're glossing over things and you don't go back to go like, okay, I was zoning out. Because you can daydream while you're reading. All glossing over in books are is you are more actively in your own head daydreaming than you are participating in the art, the book itself.
All this kind of goes to say that reading and active listening are both skill sets.
Yeah.
And that they can be trained. There are people that can actually listen to an audiobook with higher comprehension rates than if they physically read it because they've trained their active listening skills and deliberately don't focus on other stuff. It depends. There's actually stuff depending on your age where young kids actually comprehend better with audiobooks rather than physical books, but then you get a little older and physical books become more become better for actually learning, and audiobooks become more of a entertainment platform. So there was some studies looking at videos versus physically reading.
Okay.
Something similar of like you're listening to it and the text is on the screen. And comprehension rates was way lower with videos than it was physically reading, even though it was, you know, the video was quite literally just the audio of the text, and then on screen was the text and some other stuff along with it. But that's audio and they were reading. They were doing both at the same time, and they comprehended it less. And some of the theories behind that was the association with videos with entertainment and not necessarily learning.
Yeah.
And so you are used to not paying attention to a video. It's supposed to just be consumed versus reading. You're used to learning from it.
Yeah. I'm curious about, so when people say, and they learn in school and teachers talking, giving a lecture, a lot of that can go in one ear, out the other. But then when there's video or visual stimulation of, hey, here's the thing that your teacher taught you, but in 10 minutes with flashy images, people can say they learn more on the video than they do through that lecture. But this is saying almost the opposite of that.
Yeah.
So it's saying that the visual didn't add to the learning in this case.
A lot of it was apparently association. It kind of is similar to your location. So if you are in a place that you associate with learning, then it's probably a better environment that you will comprehend better versus, say, a place that you associate with fun. You're probably not going to learn as well there because you're not focused on that. And that's part of it. So when people associate videos with entertainment, they're not going to comprehend as well versus if they do associate it with learning.
So don't listen to audiobooks when I'm in the McDonald's playpen with the balls.
Yes. There you go.
I don't go in the playpen with children. No, let's...
What do you mean? Just last week.
Here's the thing. Cody Ko, Dr. Disrespect, everybody's just... Everybody recently on the internet just seems to be diddling kids. I know we're talking about audiobooks. We always go on some tangent,
not a good time to be a kid right now.
It's really not. Heart out to all kids right now because it's rough out there.
They're just... All these kids are running through a storm, and instead of snowflakes, it's child diddlers.
What is that about content creators lately? That's just been they bomb can't keep after their hands
away from kids.
Yeah.
I have no clue. Then again, you could say the same thing for political elites in Hollywood. So I don't know.
Anyway, so audiobooks.
Maybe hopefully we don't get too big that for some reason. That, like, you know what I mean?
You're afraid of...
No, maybe it's about shield.
Wait.
No, we're these same people.
Like, I thought you were going the direction... I thought you were going a way darker direction of, like, that the kids no. that... No.
No.
You're saying we get so big that the power gets to you, then all of a sudden you become
about... Yeah, exactly. You become evil. Something about the fame that makes you a child diddler?
I'd hope not.
It seems like a weird correlation.
I'm going to say, I think there's a lot of famous people who don't do that, but there's an alarming number.
There's an alarming number already, and then there's an alarming number that we don't know.
We're getting biased because I think, honest opinion too, I think there's a lot of those, there's a lot that get scot-free that aren't as famous because the famous people are the ones that people can like dig up things and have the presence. Or a lot more people are talking like, hey, they're famous. Let me find something on them. But also they're in the public sphere where you know how many just regular Joes out there do.
A lot of people have an Uncle Aaron that they don't talk about.
Exactly. And that Uncle Aaron is doing what the famous person's doing, but isn't significant enough for there to be outlash or outcry or us to even notice in the first place.
Apparently, it's kind of the same deal with like the Catholic Church. So Catholic Church has the flack for, diddling kids, which fair enough, scrutiny should be held. And though I think their scrutiny is more that they cover it up frequently.
Yeah. Did you ever watch the movie Spotlight?
No, I didn't actually.
Watch Spotlight. Great movie.
Main thing is rates. It's not like the Catholic Church is like higher percentage of child diddlers. It's actually way less compared to like public schools. Public school has a way worse rate. Yet it doesn't have the same connotation. And I think a lot of that is because for the most part, most public schools don't try and hide it. They normally fire the teacher.
It's also
Catholic Church kind of like
it's the covering up, but also you'd expect like when it comes to religious values in church, it's like the antithesis of what you're preaching. Like and if that's what you're doing behind closed doors versus like the institution itself, when the institution says this is what we stand for, then you see the opposite of that. You're going now, like that's
the counterpoint for the religious out there is Christians and many other religions are not advocating that they are sinless. It's that they acknowledge like we are creatures of sin and like they are not perfect either and that they also commit. So it's not I understand, but also we would hope they do better.
Yeah, it's just why so much public outcry, especially even if it's a small amount. It's going, well, one, the institution, and two, the cover-up is why the movie Spotlight is a good – that looks at it real well. But yeah, I would expect it's not any crazily different from schools, like you said. It's probably, like you said, more in schools.
It's way more in schools.
Right. I'd imagine, especially because like the access to children as well makes it even worse. So, but again, it happens everywhere, essentially.
It's too much.
It's pervasive. And
it's bothering me that it's just, oh, God.
Like, it's just story after story after story. It's
This month has been a...
We're filming this in July, by the way. This won't be out until probably August. So like it's a hot topic right now.
Like, we've had like four or five just this month.
Yeah.
Come out. It's like, Jesus one after the Christ.
Other. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, audiobooks, that's our thoughts on audiobooks and a little tangent at the end there. Always, we always do something.
It's... Well, we got to save the more sensitive tangent for the very end. That way, like, we get all the people in the beginning, they click off somewhere like the halfway mark. That's fine. The tail end is where the controversial stuff is said. Well, so I hope we didn't say anything too controversial there. Very much against child diddling. I hope that is clear.
I think that's clear.
I think that's made perfectly clear. I'm fine dying on the hill of the, you know, getting canceled by something. That's the one I don't want that one to be. Very clear.
Clear statement. Yes. Against that, but also, what do you think about audiobooks in the... still, let's cap this with audiobooks. That was the point.
That was the point.
That was the point. What do you think? What do you think? Do audiobooks count? And we're going to, I guess, see you next week.
All right.
If bye-bye, we make y'all. It.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.